Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Books I Love to Read and Write and Publish and all that other stuff. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and today we have an exciting guest that's actually missing in action, but we hope that he will come on soon before the show is over. So the book that he has written is an amazing book. It's called Resistance to Manifestation Resistance, which is actually exactly complementary to what my book is about, but it's the manifestation. Million people that wrote about it ever since The Secret came out is about how what we think about, we bring about, and we manifest anything we want, and that's all nice and that's all wonderful, but how many people are really walking around doing it and totally getting rid of their problems and totally not having problems with manifesting? So what he did was he wrote a book that tells you the resistance that we have for manifesting and what are those things and how to work on each one of them and what the solutions are. So I think basically that's the book that everybody's been looking for, because if you can actually make all your dreams come true, if you can actually really do everything that they say that you can do, then why aren't you? Then why isn't everybody getting everything they want? Why isn't everybody enjoying the ability of taking life to the next level, of doing everything that they want to do and of making all their dreams come true? And so the book Manifestation Resistance was written by D.C. Russ. Now, D.C. Russ is actually, it's amazing because I kind of manifested that too. About 3 weeks before he called me, I sat down in my room and I said, I need somebody to contact me to do a show about manifestation. I really, really wanted to do it, but I didn't want to run around trying to figure out who would be the perfect person. And sometimes magically it does happen, and out of nowhere he contacted me and he said, can I come and talk about my book, Manifestation Resistance? So that was an amazing, just an amazing incident, a sequence of events, random, which I don't believe in things happen randomly. So he's here today, he's with us. But we have a listener here, Robert, who is going to join me now and ask me something about this book and why would anybody write something like that. So, Robert, hi. Welcome to Books I Love with Tippi. Do you have any questions about it?
I do. I have lots of them. You know, a lot of times words mean different things to different contents. What does the word manifestation actually mean in Russ's book?
Well, when I refer to him, when he refers to manifestation, what he really means is manifesting or making come true what you want, anything. If you have a wish, you manifest that wish. If you have a project, then you manifest. That's what they mean by manifestation. I didn't know there was any other way to look at it. What's the other way of, what's the other thing that manifestation can mean?
You can manifest anything you want out of manifest, in my opinion.
Manifesting, the definition to manifestation, like it.
So, yes, you know, I like to look, you know, I'd like to know the why, you know, what was the inspiration, the passion to come up with this, you know, and it's ironic that he called you, but he's not here. Is he writing another chapter in the book? Is he putting together his dreams, his goals? It's ironic, and it's humorous.
Yes, I'm trying to figure that out of what is going on, because he told me that he got all the information. He told me that everything was set, and now he's missing in action. And that, you know, it happens when you go live. Whenever you're live, all the technical difficulties that you never imagined can happen, happen, and all the miracles of people disappearing and people appearing and all that stuff could happen. But, you know, anything could happen. He's in Los Angeles, so maybe he thought we were on at 4 o'clock L.A. time, or maybe something happened. Who knows? Who knows? But I'm sure we're going to find out.
Yes.
I'm sure we're going
now,
to hear from him.
In his book, how many pages is the book? Is it a quick read, or is it how does it flow?
Well, let me take a look at the book. It's a really nice, very easy to read book, and it's like it's one of those books that I actually am not going to just read and forget about. It's more like a book that you're going to want to remind you all the time, like, oh yeah, I can do it differently. So basically, I'll read you his mission, and you'll understand, because he said that his mission is to contribute to world peace, and he wants to align himself with the divine, seek alignment, and just basically bring as many people as possible to realizing that they can manifest whatever they want, and they don't have to run around in circles or stress out or do anything like that. So he has the first part where it's called manifestation, what it is, which is actually a really good question, Robert. You're a genius, because you actually asked the first question of his chapter. I mean, how amazing is that? And then how does it work? How do I use it? And what does God think about it? And then also he defines what God means to different people, obviously. But for our sake right now, when we discuss it, God is that one creator of everything. Everybody's creator, no matter where you are, no matter what religion you have, or no matter what religion you don't have. And then he defines his linguistics, but then he goes about the belief systems, how belief systems can really get in the way of you manifesting, and what kind of belief systems usually get in the way of manifesting for people, and then what kind of actions that you take. And I just got an email from him. He says he wants to call now, but he thought it was on at 5 o'clock. I told you.
Yes.
It's not his fault. It's really my fault, because I had another rush, and yesterday I kind of made him a little bit crazy and confusing, so he got confused. But now he's going to be on in a few minutes, so I'm going to just tell him to call in now, and then we could still go on and do it now. But I knew something went wrong. I knew that it was not major science, but minor science. So let me go on and tell you more about the book. So far, do you like what you hear? Because it's about the action. Then he closes the book with the solutions of how you get over all those things that get in your way of manifesting, which is really good. Yes, Robert.
It seems like an essential, a must-have, a must-read, a must-do.
Absolutely. That's what I think, because if you have read The Secret, and you should have, and if it's true, which you should, because millions of people have, and you're wondering why I've read this brilliant book, it makes sense, it works, well, why am I not doing it in my life? Why in my life do I still have to struggle with things that, if I want to manifest something, why doesn't it just show up in my life? And so he touches on all those things that show up. He doesn't teach people how to do the manifestation. The Secret already did that. A million other books did that. He just focuses in on what the issues are and how to get the solutions and how to get over it. So I really, really enjoyed it. But here, let me see. The solutions are really simple. That's not things that you don't know about, and it's not things that you never thought about. It's just things that you basically forget about in the everyday life of running around, because New York is not the only crazy place in town that people run around like crazy all over the place. New York is just one of those places. But so, yeah, that's the story with this book, which I really, really like. So
it seems to be so much on point that today, more than ever before, we have all of these things to interfere. You know, a simple thing like time zone changes and daylight savings, and then you complicate it a little further with all the different devices for communicating. We're inundated with a lot of information.
Oh my God! See, that's one of the things when they say we're in the information age. The information age, I think it's like total understatement. It's more like we're on the overload of information age. We have too much information. And now people are beginning to come out and say, okay, guys, you have to shut down everything and just have some quiet time. Don't answer your emails. You have too many emails. If you have 2,000 emails, just delete everything. Don't worry about it. When something important that you're missing, they're going to send it again anyway. So actually we're getting way, way too much information. And that's one of the things that he talks about in the book, one of the solutions that he has on the manifestation of what the problem is meditation, which he basically calls quiet time of stepping away and being really able to focus on what we want. Because, you know, also another thing is we want so many things, and our attention cannot even stay focused on one thing that we want. So today you might want a Lexus. Tomorrow you might want a Volkswagen. The next day you want a Mercedes. The next day you want a Century Buick. Every day you don't really know what you want. So how can you really accomplish anything when you keep jumping on a different bandwagon every day? That makes a lot of sense, Robert. It is way too much, way, way too much information.
So what about the responsibility of all those emails that you just deleted? Do you have a responsibility to that, or is that the best path?
I don't think you have a responsibility to that. What do you mean by have a responsibility? Just because somebody sends you an email does not mean that your time needs to be spent seeing that email. You can spend your time manifesting something that you really need that is very important in your life, and then that email can wait. And most of the emails we get anyway is somebody else's. Somebody wants to sell you something. But I think we've got our guest on now. Isn't that amazing? DC Russ, welcome to Tippy Talk. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Talking about the book called Manifestation Resistance. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wow. You're missing an action for a little bit.
That was the first book I wrote ever. I wrote several, but that was the first one. I guess it was the best, you know. So I guess my author career should stop where it was illustrious. That was the best one. It was the first one I wrote. It was definitely inspired by something bigger than myself. So I was happy to share the insights, and it seemed like it helped a lot of people. So it was an awesome thing.
I actually have not read all your books, but I have read that one from cover to cover, but I have to admit, not every word. But I think it's the kind of book that is really a must-have. And Robert, don't you agree, just by the little bit that you've heard about the book right now, that this is a must-have book?
My words exactly. Sounds like a must-have, a must-read, and a must-do.
Must do, really. It really is the bottom line, because you can read it all day and all night, but if you don't do anything about it, how far are you going to get, Dustin? How far do you get if you really don't do anything about it?
Well, you don't get anywhere, and I'm still doing the things that I so-called preached about in that book. You know, there's not a day that goes by when, you know, I struggle with those. I mean, you know, a lot of people tend to think authors are experts, and I guess in some ways they are. They put a lot of thought in it, and they put those thoughts out. But at the end of the day, if you're not really actively working on the things, practicing what you preach, you know, you're going nowhere.
Exactly. And so to answer your question about how you write your first brilliant book, and because it's the best that you think you wrote, which I don't necessarily agree, it might not be, then you should stop writing. And I would say that would be the biggest mistake of your life.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I started doing videos now. I think it's a better medium for me. You know, I know there's writers. There are writers, and they are just amazing. And I see that, and I'm like, wow, you know, maybe I could be that one day. But maybe there are better ways for me to communicate and get my message out. So I just kind of try to go with the flow, you know, and try to put out whatever's going to be the most helpful for people. And, you know, that's been an ongoing battle in myself as well, trying to achieve genuineness and not having to worry about being so serious all the time, and just trying to be helpful and get out my messages that are going to help people in the best way that they can. And you know, will I write another book? Absolutely. And I hope that's going to be equally as helpful.
But I think, yeah, there was a period in my life where that was the key thing that I was doing, and I invested all of my energy into that, and I thought that that was the path for me, but then the path evolved, and it shifted halfway, you know, while I was in my author career, and that, you know, trusting my gut, trusting my intuition to go with that flow was ultimately what led me to experience greater levels of financial independence and happiness and peace in my own life. So, yeah, I'm just going with the flow, I guess, is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, totally. And in case you're tuning in right now, we're talking to DC Russ, the author of a book called Manifestation Resistance. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and we have Robert Goodhall on the line, too. Although, I don't know, Robert doesn't know how to spell his last name because it spells it like Goodahe, but it's Robert Goodhall. And DC Russ wrote an amazing book, and that's what we're discussing right now. And yes, I totally agree with you because sometimes if you don't go with the flow, you definitely get stuck. No, this is it, and this is what I'm going to do. And if the world comes to an end, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And nobody these days sticks to one media only. The speaking is very important. And by the way, I watched your video that you did, and it's really cute, and it's easy to watch, and you definitely get your message across. So you don't have to do one thing mutually exclusive doing that one thing, because when other things come along and it's possible for you to do other things, why not do it? Why not take
Absolutely.
Care of it?
That's a great point. Very well said, yes.
So what I
Absolutely.
Liked, one of the really nice things that I loved about what I read is your mission. And the reason I liked it so much, it's because it's kind of my mission. You know, you kind of identify something that you have, which is world peace and to align with the divine. And that in itself really, right now I see the world really in black and white. There are those people that want to destroy the world, and we're talking about just the 20% who really know what they want, because 80% of people really don't even know what they want. But you either want to destroy the world, kill as many people as you can, or you want to align with the divine and you be aligned,
yeah.
a person that spreads light in the world. And so when I identify
Absolutely.
Another person, right? When I identify a person that wants to spread light, then I know you're in my tribe. So a lot of the things that you said is like, wait a minute, I said that. Oh, that I didn't know. This is really awesome. So that's what I was doing as I was reading your book. And you said something in your book, and if you read my book, it's in the first paragraph of my book, is you're always manifesting consciously or unconsciously. And the only thing I added on to what you said was that you can manifest positive or negative, whatever. So why not just manifest the positive? But
right.
that is really true. But what you did is really, really amazing, because I think it's really one of those companions. Do you feel that it's a companion that you can still enjoy and that anybody can have that around so that it can wake up every day and say, what am I going to manifest today?
Absolutely, and I love all the things you said about the battle of dark and light in the world. You know, it definitely, you know, it's so funny because there are very few things that work in black and white, but it definitely seems like there is that black and white dichotomy, you know, and it's going on everywhere around us. And there are people that, you know, have dark energy and they want to take from the world. And there are those people who try to get past their own egos to be the light, to give to the world. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, we'll fall into either one of those categories. And, you know, it's not just a single choice that you make. Oh, I want to be involved in world peace and I want to give to people. You know, it's a kind of a choice you got to make all the time. It's a choice you got to make every day because, you know, we're all stuck in these bodies. We all have these egos, and they all want to take. They all want to, you know, nourish themselves, and oftentimes that's at somebody else's expense. So it's a choice that, you know, you have to keep making. You have to be firm to, because, you know, there are temptations around everywhere that want to try to put you ahead of somebody else. And what I found in my own life is every time I chose the light, every time I chose to give, somehow it always comes back to me. So it's like you can't lose if you're on the light side. And I guess you can't lose if you're on the dark side, but what's winning if everybody around you is losing? That's not winning, you know. That's just you sitting on a mountain of crap and everybody else is suffering. To me, that's not the world I want to live in. And until everybody has the things, the basic things that they need, for God's sakes, you know, water and food, and shelter and peace, you know, these basic things, until everybody has those, why do I want to, you know, say I'm a proud citizen of this world? You know, if we can't get everybody there, then what's the point of me being there? What's the point of me having nice things? You know, so everything that I get, I think is a direct result of giving, whether it's providing value, helping people with a service, or just being nice to people and just, you know, trying to meet them where they are at. And I think that's the big thing is, you know, don't judge people for what they do. You know, they're where they are for a reason, for many reasons that you don't know. Just try to be that light to them regardless. And, man, that is so hard. And every day I fail at that at least 100 times. But I think, you know, keeping that mission going and keeping making that decision, it's a daily thing. And, you know, I try my best. You know, I'm only human just like the rest of them.
Yeah, so I have two questions for you. Actually, I have one question, but there's something I want.
Sure.
You said something really, really profound. When you really give just for the sake of giving, it comes back to you. But I would say
right.
It comes back to you 100 times more than you ever gave at all. It comes
right.
back to you. The feeling is, first of all, amazing. I could say the one time that stands out in my mind that I gave without thinking, I was euphoric for like 3 days. It wasn't
yeah.
something that I planned. So that's one thing. But then the other thing is, what do you define as God? What do you define as, when you say God, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I think God is just everything, the energy that connects everything. Like, I think we see the grass, we see the clouds, we see other people as separate things, but there's a connection there that if you could see through space-time, if you could see through reality, there is one continuous force, and it's a loving force, it's a benevolent force, it's a force that wants the best for all things, but also there is an element of free will that allows people and you know, animals, anything really, to do what they want to do in any given moment. But God to me is this force that connects everything. It is everything. And if you could see behind the veil, if you could see past it, you'd realize that it's all love and it's all unfolding perfectly and that everything is okay. But you know, we get so wrapped up in this physical world and our existence that it's hard for us to see that. And you know, also I've been studying The Course in Miracles. It's a great book. I've been studying that lately, and they kind of paint God as like a separate picture. It's like God has nothing to do with this world. You know, God is, you know, you're the son of God. We are all collectively the son of God, and we created this place as a way to hide out and test our own powers out away from God. So, you know, there's that, you know, mentality as well. But regardless, I think there is a godlike energy that each and every one of us can connect to. And by doing so, we can start to kind of, you know, move the curtain of this reality and see past it and see that everything actually is just fine, and we're all safe, and we're all perfectly loved, and we didn't do anything wrong. And so even if that's wrong or right or whatever it is, it still allows you to have that forgiveness, not only for life but for yourself, which is the hardest thing to forgive, yourself. But I've been practicing the forgiveness lessons from this Course in Miracles, and they have been helping my life out a lot because, you know, we're all innocent creatures here. Everything is innocent. You know, there is evil in the world, but at the same time, where is that evil coming from? Why is it here? And do you really understand everything behind that? And if the answer is yes, then great, share it with me because I don't know. But if the answer is no, then don't judge. Don't judge the things you see around you as bad. You know, if anything, judge them as good. If you're going to judge anything, you know, see it in its full completeness as, you know, just a part of yourself. You know, and that I since I've been practicing this, I go around my daily life and I've been noticing I'm walking through the supermarket or I'm walking down the street and I see somebody and I judge them just automatically. It's just so conditioned in me. Oh, that person. Oh, look at that person. Oh, I bet that person, blah, blah, blah. And it's just ridiculous when I start hearing myself play these things, because how the heck do I know anything about that person or where they're coming from or why they do the things they do? I don't know. And so practicing non-judgment and forgiveness is that thing that allows you to connect to God, whatever that might be.
Yeah, and you just said something that really profound, because you said that by practicing that, you're getting to know your own self. By all of a sudden, you're saying, oh, my God, I'm judging, and it's not what I really wanted to do. And there is, from the quote that you have, that one of the things that you really have to do, it is you who must get acquainted with yourself and your desires and the reasons you desire them, and basically the analysis of yourself and getting acquainted with yourself. Course in Miracles is a really a course that keeps coming back to me. People keep forwarding it to me, so I know it's amazing, everything that I've heard about it. But your book, it was almost like a companion to that, because it's nice to just have a course and go home and then you forget about it or you practice it a little bit. But when you have a little book like that that you can go back to and say, okay, wait a minute, today I want to manifest this, what am I resisting? And you really can plug it into each category. There's going to be one category that resistance belongs to. And then there's going to be one category to overcome that resistance. So it's something that it's a classic that'll never go away. It's the kind of book that everybody can use at all the time, no matter what.
Absolutely. And, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for your nice words on that book. You know, we about God. God is abundance. And, I use the term he, you know, you could say she, God, I don't know. I know it's definitely beyond gender and how we associate those things. But I think God, he really wants the best for everybody. And he wants everybody to have abundance. And, you know, there are people that can enact their free will to prevent other people from getting that abundance. And it's a horrible thing that we all need to bond together and fight out against, you know, whether it's tyrannical government, political bodies, or corrupt economic systems. I mean, these things are real. They are part of our daily experience. But we must realize that God, this entity, wants us to be abundant. And if there aren't insanely oppressive forces, if you're not literally chained up to a wall, then you can go and get that abundance. And it's by removing these things that are preventing you from having the abundance. And that's what the whole book is all about. You know, I wrote it from kind of the negative standpoint. A lot of people write books in this category from the positive standpoint. Oh, here's what you got to do. Well, this book is about here's what you got to not do. Here's what you got to stop doing. Because I think those are way more in your way than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your
mm-hmm.
natural order is abundance, and it's you that's walking through your day like not even noticing it, judging people, or, you know, feeling fear. You know, fear is fake. It's false evidence appearing real. It's not real. And I feel fear all the time. What if I don't get my goal? What if I – and it's just – I just sit with it, because it's not the fear that's going to hurt you. It's being afraid of the fear that's going to hurt you. So you don't have to stop being afraid. You just have to stop investing energy in it. You know, stop investing energy in judging people. Stop investing energy in being negative and down. Stop worrying about the problems that you have now, and just think about where you want to go, because the problems that you have now aren't holding you back. It's your worrying about them that are holding you back.
Exactly. So, Robert, if you have any questions to ask, then this would be a good time to ask it, because that's exactly what makes your book different and unique, is that you approached it from the opposite way of everybody else approaching it. And I think that's really important, especially since people are coming for such a negative point anyway. So you're just kind of tapping to that, and then you show them how to switch that and what the solution is. And I love that you have a solution at the end, that it's not just, here's your problem, you got a problem, and that you have the solution. So, Robert, we're running out of time. Do you have a question?
Hey, Dustin, in a nutshell, where would you tell us to start?
I would tell you to start right now. I would say if there's any place to start, it's right now. Like, if there's anything to do, it's just don't worry about what you have to do in 5 minutes from now or 5 seconds from now. Just what are you doing right now? Listen to the birds. Listen to the people chattering. Listen to your heartbeat. Listen to yourself breathing. Whatever it is, you're doing it right now, and you start right now, and you make that commitment right now. Well, you know, I got problems. There's things in my life that aren't great. You know, there's things that I want. You know, I'm hungry. You know, that's all great. But just be there now and forgive it for whatever it is. Don't judge it. I am where I am right now, and that's where I'm going to start.
So I have
– Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
I have a philosophy to always look for my highest and best use, or the highest and best use of the moment. Is there anything I can add to that to embellish it, or what would you advise?
The best use of the moment, I think is peace, and that might just be for me. But having peace not only allows your energy levels to stay intact throughout the day, but it makes you more productive. You know, if you go to work tired and anxious, or if you go to do something that's directed towards your goals, and you don't have a feeling of peace inside of you, you're not going to be productive. It's ultimately going to be a defeatist thing. And so you hear people talk all the time, make sure you don't get any more than 6 hours of sleep. You got to sleep for 6 hours, no more, and then go and do your thing. Well, I tried that, and I was really tired, and I wasn't productive, and I wasn't getting the things done that I wanted to get done. So if you're not experiencing peace in the moment, then try to figure out why. Try to get back to that peace and try to keep telling yourself, wherever I'm at right now, it's okay. Forgive yourself. Forgive the things around you that are weighing you down, and just try to get to that peace. You know, there's a difference between being in the moment and being stressed out and overworked and tired and crabby, and being in the moment and being peaceful and loving and generous and relaxed and in your ease. So, yeah, I think to elaborate on your point, I think peace is the key for really doing the things that you want to do and having the things that you want.
Absolutely, and we are running out of time, because every time you have a great time, you always run out of time. So we have to finish up right now. It's been wonderful chatting for you. Thank you so much, Siraj, for joining us, and thank you, Robert, for joining us. And I am going to follow up on this.
Like you got
now
we're
to the end of our together here on Book Style.
Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee.
Thank you.
Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving so fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like a free copy of this book, definitely I'm going to send one to Robert in a PDF format so you can actually take a look at it and have better insight. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate you being here. And we will join you again next week at the same time, same place.
That beautiful music you have there, is that Newborn, and will it be playing tomorrow night in Gramercy in New York City?
That's a very good question. This music is on Newborn, which is one band, if you have not heard about it, it's a band you're going to hear about. As a matter of fact, this is going to become a household name. And this is just a little bit taste of the music. It's just 1 minute and 17 seconds of the song called Run Around, which is very appropriate because people are running around in circles all over the planet doing all kinds of running around. The singer, Alan James, really captured that idea. And if you see his video, there is something on that video that I found really, that's what touched me and that's what really sold me on him. And I want you to go ahead and watch that video. Look up the interview, and I have the video at the bottom. And tell me what you think it is, that video, that made a whole difference for me, besides the fact that the music I liked and the words I like, and it does have a concept there, and it definitely has a message for today's kids and adults that are stuck on their phone rather than in life, or they're on their electric devices much more than in the reality. But other than that, he does something in that video, and I don't know if you saw it, Robert, but if you go watch that video, you tell me what's that one thing, and it happens in 1 second. You really have to look for it. Tell me what that one thing is that you think that made me totally fall in love with this guy and his band, okay?
It's the bridge. He is the tie between Dustin today, not manifesting, mm-hmm. but going out and seeking his passion, finding that peace. You've brought together some wonderful people on your show, Tippi.
Thank you so much. And yes, that's my goal, is to get more and more people like that and to bring, definitely make a difference in the world and to spread the light, everywhere that we can, because the light is so much more powerful than the darkness. And even if we are in the minority, we're still going to have a lot more power, because one tiny little candle can light an entire multi huge cave. So yeah, bringing the light, bringing all the people that want to bring light and want to make the world a better place into one place. And that's basically the most important thing about Tippi Talk, is to bring that talent, to bring that passion, and to make the world a better place.
Passion. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful evening, and enjoy the music as we fade out of the show.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.